What's up, Internet, and welcome to episode 67 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
Henry Gilbert.
Greg Henniger.
Zach Betka.
And it's going to be a slightly truncated episode today, just because we are live streaming tomorrow.
Holy shit, we are.
We are running low on time.
We're running high on energy.
Oh, yeah.
So cocaine, mostly.
Most, like 70%.
So yeah. If you're listening to this right around when this comes out, you better go watch our live stream on Twitch.
Yeah, it starts Friday, December 6th, which is from right now, tomorrow morning.
Yes, though almost undoubtedly before you listen to this.
Almost undoubtedly.
9 a.m. Pacific.
9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
5 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time.
For all of our Brito fans out there. Mm-hmm.
And if you're in between those, just do the math.
Yeah, just go on GamesRadar.com or... Twitch.com, Twitch.tv.
There you go, buddy.
Twitch.tv/GamesRadar, and we're going to be streaming for 24 hours for the Chitlins. Sick children.
I should get
it's not a
ducking.
Plot for sick
hit,
children.
I have to hit duck, and then that makes it go quieter.
What's our, what's the charity again?
It is Extra Life.
Yeah.
It is the charity, and it's all of our donations are going to be going towards a children's hospital, mm-hmm. Local children's hospital.
Yeah, and they will get... food? How does that work? Do they just do medicine?
And then the doctors do it. Because they know what to do. We're not going to be like, here's some syringes and crackers. Mm-hmm. Do kids like crackers?
I think kids would like crackers. Figure you needed syringes, so here you go.
Get a lollipop. Don't give him saltine crackers.
Here's some alcohol wipes. Too bad Ryan sucked them dry before we handed them over.
Ryan's an alcoholic.
he gets belligerent when he drinks.
My favorite is if you're ever watching a live stream with Ryan, when he's at home, not in the office, and he just randomly starts death metal voice singing, he is drunk. There is a 100% chance.
Ryan is past the tipping point.
Yep. It's really, or if he messages you in all caps, hey, what's up? You're like, no, we're not going to play a game.
We had a happy hour in the office this week where you're allowed to, technically it's just cool to drink in the lobby where we're having the happy hour, but
HR is fine with that.
Yeah, but then I saw Tom took
HR
his beer.
Doesn't listen to our podcast.
I saw Tom took his beer back.
Games
Radar
podcast has played that game far too many times, Greg. It doesn't work out.
It's a dangerous game, but
the most dangerous.
I saw Tom took his beer to his desk, and I was like, well, I'm going to take my beer to my desk, and then Ryan, unbeknownst to me, also took his beer to his desk. And so when Lucas came up to judge Ryan, like, you have a beer at your desk? Then Tom walked up behind Lucas to drink his beer. And then I slowly and subtly grabbed my beer and turned to face Lucas and then drank some of mine.
I think that's what shocked Lucas the most.
Lucas is also now an alcoholic.
That final move.
Lucas will never. He's like the sad child of an alcoholic parenting couple.
Is
in the car today, he's like, hey, are you guys going to... Oh
yeah!
Tonight.
That was the best. He turns to Ryan and I, and he goes, "You guys aren't gonna have any barley pop tonight, are you?" And I was like, "No, we want to be fresh faced and giddy for the stream tomorrow." But the way he asked was just like
preemptively hurt.
Hey guys, can you please not get drunk and hurt each other tonight? It really hurts my feelings.
Speaking of. I'm going to pull a segue real quick into something amazing I saw. There's a Twitter that's just bad Miiverse posts.
Uh-huh.
And there was in Mario 3D Land, there's you in the like world, you'll walk up and there'll be Miis that say what somebody said in that area. Uh-huh. And there was a Mii that said it was like John or something. Uh-huh. And it said whatever it was. And it said like, this game's really fun. My parents have been fighting a lot recently. That was the broke my heart. It was so good.
You know, one of my favorite Christmas songs is this country one called Please Daddy Don't Get Drunk This Christmas.
That's really good. Oh, man.
It's really fun. It's one of those funny,
it's a funny
sad
one?
Country songs.
Okay.
Well, it's not a comedy
dark
song. It's
humor.
Not like, yeah, but it's not like Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
It's well, there's Dad that, got drunk and beat my mom.
There's that super rapey Christmas song.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, it's cold
Baby,
outside.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Yeah, it's like, I have to go. And he's like, or you can drink more.
Yeah.
What's,
yeah.
There's my favorite line. It's like, what's in this drink?
And he's Baby like, will freeze out there.
I actually found the post. It's from Alex. And it says, this game is fun. My mom and dad have been fighting a lot. It's so sad.
Alex, if you're out there, we're here for you.
Yeah.
Have a barley
nice
pop.
Kid.
Have a barley pop. Oh, no.
Right.
I bet you it's in the fridge. Not the fridge. Not the inside fridge. The one in the garage.
The special fridge.
Yeah, it has mostly meat for dinner and beer.
Yeah.
I have thought about that song a lot. I will say that there's one part that doesn't sound date rapey, that because of societal norms, the woman in the song has to pretend like she doesn't like sex, and so that she has to pretend like, oh, I'm going to tell everybody I tried. Like,
so
I ought to say no, or at least that's what I'm going to say, that I tried, is her next line, which... Yeah.
That actually makes it sound even worse. Who's she saying that to? The police?
Her dad.
Or the authorities?
She'll be late coming home, and her dad will be like, hey, you were over at Dean Martin's house. What was that about?
He'll be like, I said no to sex, but we did it anyway. But
I tried to say no. He didn't listen. Oh, all right. Yeah, that's cool.
Well, tell Dean I said hi. Can you bring this coat back to him? So the top seven.
Wait, does...
It's a segue.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Top seven, Signs You Might Be a Fanboy, written by a certain Andy Hardup.
Yep.
Good old Andy.
It's the top seven.
I remembered to play it.
Good.
I'm proud of myself.
I like this one a lot because I empathized with every single point. And I said, that's not me. And then next time I was like, that's me.
Yeah, this has been me in every instance at one point. Top seven signs you might be a fanboy. Number seven, you know more about the game than its developers. Mm.
I feel like I'm this way with the Persona series, but I can't physically know more than the developers about it. I'm like, yeah, they're like two wild cards, and one's alive, but one's an Aegis, and then they're going to... But they already know that, and they're going to set it up. But I just know a fuck ton about Persona.
Yeah.
Like, nobody else does.
I did have
Persona.
This... I did have this happen to me once.
Oh, I'm sorry... Hitler?
Wow! He knows you're Hitler!
How did you find out?
I
was
did have
my
this,
dapper mustache?
You are German, of German descent.
I am.
Anyway.
Racist.
I had this happen to me once. Whenever I get to interview, on the rare occasions I get to interview someone who's a longtime Nintendo developer behind Mario, I want to ask them a bunch of questions about, like, oh, you know, what was the meaning of this level? What did this level mean? And they often do know more than I know about it, but...
I'd hope.
There came a point when they were talking about the Super NES, and he said, like, yeah, it's like how on the Super NES we wanted to have this this one thing. And I went, Mode 7? I was like, yeah, Mode 7, that was what we called it. That felt good.
I was interviewing the developers of Battlefield. I think it was Bad Company 2, and... I remembered in Bad Company 1, or it may have been Bad Company 2 to Battlefield 3, but whatever it was, there was a weapon you could shoot. It was essentially like a dart gun that the dart would stick onto a vehicle and then make it so any rockets you shot would home in on that vehicle. It was essentially them not having the laser sights or the laser targeting yet. And it was in the game. And then I was talking to the developers about the sequel, and they were talking about how excited they were to add that weapon to the sequel. And I remember being like, no, that... But what are you changing about it? It was in the last game. What makes this one different? He's like, no, it wasn't in the last game. And I'm like, it was, though. Like, I troll my friends because it's a blinking red beacon, and if you shoot somebody in the face, it blinks on their HUD all the time. So I know it's in there. And he's like, no, it's not. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, we're not going to resolve this conversation, are we? But the top seven example is more along the lines of in a game like Mass Effect or like Mass Effect, I believe, was the easiest example. But when Mass Effect 3 came out, the fan community tore it apart and made a huge like wiki of all of the areas.
Kerfuffle.
Yeah, all of the areas of the game that story-wise were incorrect as per the novels and the expanded universe stuff.
That's what happens when
expanded
you have those
universe
novels
is
and
a
comics.
Touchy.
Yeah,
like,
but when in BioWare was saying that was all canon stuff,
they made also, it really mad.
Yeah, and BioWare's really into those extended universe. Like the next Dragon Age game is going to be a direct sequel to the novel, not to the last game.
Right.
Well, and often they wouldn't just hire some jerk off the street to write their books. Like it would be the same people who wrote the scripts to their games as well.
And that also has happened with Assassin's Creed. People will look at the codex entries in the game and find ways that they conflict with sequels, and the reaction is never like, oh guys, you made a mistake. It's always you hate the community, you hate the franchise.
Yeah. You're trying to kill it from the inside. You clearly don't care about it like I care about it.
It's really just another example of developers not actually caring about their games. All they care about is making money. Mm-hmm. So they just want to do whatever's best for the casual community.
Are you being fanboy coop?
Number six, you walk into shops and hide rival games.
This one didn't make much sense to me. Have you guys ever done that?
Well, you kind of have to do it because it's not that you want to hide them because you want the other consoles to do worse. It's that people are stupid and GameStop employees are biased. So you want to make it so that the good games are really easy to find and the bullshit like Halo is hidden behind other stuff. So people don't mistakenly get that when they want Time Splitters 2.
So I'm going to ignore the fact they just called Halo bullshit. That's fine. We're moving on. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I'm really selfish as a consumer. Well, I'll hide all the games I like so when I can come back with more money, they're not taken from me.
I know somebody who, when they knew Target was going to be having a big sale on like Xbox Live cards, they just went to Target. Like it was like Black Friday was going to have a big sale. They just like went to Target, grabbed the stack of Xbox Live cards, and then just like went to like the children's section and was like, "All right, fuck it," and just shoved them in random spots. It's like nobody's going to check there, and I can just stroll in at like 4 p.m. on Black Friday and grab them from behind there.
You know, I had this in an official capacity when I worked at Blockbuster because the game section was in terrible shape when I got there, and so it needed to be cleaned up, and I was just man to do it. And but then it came to parts where I would see like Tony Hawk 8 has these or Underground or whatever it was that year.
I was gonna say Project 8 was badass, so I'm hoping you're talking about Tony, Thug this bad, 2.
This bad Tony Hawk game or Medal of Honor is taking up way too many spaces on here when people should be running Prince of Persia: Sands of Time on the PS2, which we only had three copies of. Now, the rule with Blockbuster was three copies should have been one space, and 15 copies should have been five spaces. But then I made 15 copies be three spaces, and Prince of Persia be one copy per space.
Nice.
It was. I did that to the extreme in the Nintendo, the GameCube section, because because they only got two copies of Metroid Prime 2. But that's way better than like the Madden. So I spread it out more. I mean, it did increase its visibility, but people still wanted to rent.
Did were you at Blockbuster when they did that crazy deal where they Nintendo, I think, and Blockbuster teamed up to do some kind of deal where it was like if you rent any game, you get a free rental of Animal Crossing.
No, that was a little before my time.
I remember that being a thing because that was the reason I checked out Animal Crossing.
That
and I was
how
like,
I played
wow,
Animal Crossing.
All right.
I rented it. Yeah, I worked there when, quick story, they remember Star Fox Armada?
Yes, the Namco-developed game where the main trailers kept showing Falco shooting rocket launchers at ships because apparently that's what Namco thought we wanted.
Yeah, on foot, we only wanted to run around on foot as Star Fox. Who wants to fly his plane?
Yeah.
But anyway, so...
Yeah.
Before it came out, Blockbuster got a special deal with Nintendo to break Street Day, or not break Street Day, but rent it early. Nobody could have it on sale early, but we were able to rent it a week early.
That's crazy.
So, but nobody there other than me was a game expert, so it just had a date, so they put it on the shelf. Then in comes a Rhino employee. Rhino Video Games, if you know that company.
I don't.
I thought you meant Republican in name only, Rhino. And I'm like, that's a really weird distinction to make.
No, this Rhino was a competitor with GameStop and EB in my neck of the woods anyway. Mm. So that guy came in. He's like, hey, you're breaking Street Day. You're not allowed to have this up. I'm calling my Nintendo rep right now. And he like leaves. And I'm telling him, like, no, look, let me pull up this website on the computer. No one had smartphones back then.
Look at my tablet computer.
Yeah.
Dragging a computer across the ground.
I just was trying to tell them, like, no, see, this is news. Blockbuster can have these out. You're not going to get in trouble. They're like, no, pull them. Nobody can rent them, especially not you, Henry. And they just take them away. And
he took them away?
No, that we put them in a drawer because we're like, we can't get in trouble with Nintendo.
Even though you had proof that it was the way to do it.
They didn't believe me. Oh. My manager was an old fuddy buddy.
That was dumb.
I like Star Fox Assault.
Did anyone come in and be like...
Star Fox Assault or Star
Fox? Oh, no, it was Assault. Armada was the DS game. You're right.
No, Command was the DS game.
Wait, okay. Oh, no, it was called Assault and Armada. I forget which it launched with.
Clearly you're not a fanboy.
Obviously.
I think it was Assault, but just because I didn't know the word Armada until a few years
ago. But did anyone come in and say, hey, it's supposed to be out here at Blockbuster?
No, well,
that
goes to Nintendo's poor ability to advertise. Like, nobody came looking for it either, so...
So during development, it was Star Fox Armada, but they changed it to Star Fox Assault before it released.
Okay. So Zach's more right. I'm not totally wrong.
Yeah, and Command was the super badass DS version.
Right.
You ever play that one?
No.
You actually get to, in between levels, you draw on the touchscreen the path you want to take so you can, like, dodge asteroid fields and stuff.
That's so cool.
It was really cool.
It also had a branching story where Star Fox's girlfriend, Crystal, would sometimes leave him and, like, start dating the Panther guy who's on Star Wolf's team.
There's that's legitimately like an ending where she just goes, like, I'm going with him, and he's like, mm-hmm, and then that's just the end of the game. And it's just like, wow, there's some repressed Japanese-ness going on in this game that she's leaving with the Panther. There's just some weird thing going on here. And I'm not...
Wait, the Panther?
The Panther.
There's a new Panther.
They added a Panther.
Son of a bitch. Sorry.
That's fine.
I don't
fine.
Like the new Star Fox.
Number four... Number five, because I can't math. You obsess over specific video game characters.
Oh my God.
In the article, he chose Jigglypuff. I don't know anybody who obsesses over Jigglypuff, though I do know people who obsess over other characters. I had friends that were just like, if you had a conversation with them, they were going to bring up Master Chief.
So this works in perfectly, because we streamed Mario 3D World, Super Mario 3D World, yesterday, and... it was me, Zach, Lucas, and Lorenzo, and I was Mario, and the rest of the gang was everybody else. There was a guy in the chat. His name on Twitch was Mario the Plumber, and he was calling me out so hard.
Well, okay, to be fair, Greg was awful at this game.
I'm terrible.
It was atrocious.
Like, I was really bad. like, falling off of ledges and obviously missing jumps.
So Mario himself lost about 50 lives.
I was not doing it on purpose, but Mario the Plumber in the chat tore my ass a new one just saying, like, I can't believe you're tarnishing Mario's name like
this.
He is the lead character. Why the fuck aren't you playing one of the side characters and let somebody who knows
like
what
genuine
to
rage?
Very genuine rage.
All caps. It's not Super Peach.
Yeah,
it's
this like, isn't Super Luigi World. And he was for 2 hours laying into me because he was, like, showing people his collection of Mario stuff, like, in the chat, like, pictures of it.
You know what? Now I'm starting to understand why, at the last minute, Henry Gilbert said he couldn't be on the stream. He had to log into Twitch.
Are you Mario the Plumber, Henry?
No.
Man.
You caught me.
He was so mad.
But, yeah, I've known people like that. But anybody who has a video game character's name in every account name they have has a chance of being that.
It was funny because then other people created new accounts so that Luigi the Plumber was in there, Princess the Peach was there, and then Toad the Mushroom was there.
Nice.
And they, Peach the Princess.
They were like trolling Mario the Plumber, which was fun.
By being really nice and respectful to the rest of us. Like, good job, Zach. You're doing real good as Toad.
Yeah.
Thanks, Toad the Mushroom.
Fuck, that's great. Fuck that guy.
Do we all have characters that we obsess over, though? I know I do.
Specific game characters?
Used to. A lot of the characters, it's weird, because it's like, a lot of my favorite games don't have amazing lead characters, so I don't necessarily.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm just not gonna obsess over Wander from Shadow of the Colossus. That's just not a thing that's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Commander Shepard is a good character, but he's so malleable that I'm not gonna.
That's fair.
Granted, I mean, I do really like... And Henry has, what do you have, 900 Mario statues?
Probably over 100 Mario toys.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I do. Do you?
Oh, absolutely.
Who?
Each Tails game, I have a character that
weird.
I obsess over. What do you mean
not
weird?
Bayonetta?
I mean, she's like my Ubermensch, so she's inside of me always.
Right.
Metaphorically, because she's Bayonetta. But, like, right. Tales of Symphonia, like, Genus and Rain are my favorite characters always, and I can quote most of their lines, not verbatim, but...
Close enough.
Paraphrase.
Yeah.
Tales of the Abyss, I really like Natalia. Nobody else does, and all the god generals are great. Tales of Vesperia, Yuri is awesome. Tales of Great... Yeah, I can go on.
You can go on.
But...
We're eventually going to find you in Tales of Vesperia footy pajamas passed out at your desk.
If love
the top
me.
Seven during the 24-hour stream.
Yeah, if the top seven's to be believed.
I wonder if Lucas... Remember last year at the 24-hour, Lucas just like passed out on the beanbag?
We don't have that beanbag anymore. Didn't somebody take it?
Pink what bean the? Is still around, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah, I thought Ryan took passed it. Out on it.
It's
to
in
the
back
room.
It's in over by Anthony's desk, I think.
Oh. We have to bring that back out.
Mine would be Kyle Katarin, though.
Really?
Yes.
From
the Jedi Knight series.
Oh, right.
He is probably the greatest Star Wars character outside of the movies, of course.
What about Jar Jar Binks?
You can see yourself out now. Zach likes to troll me with Star Wars.
I just have little to no knowledge about Star Wars. And so all I know is
and
Jar Jar Binks.
You take that and you rub it. You just rub it in the wounds that are all over me.
Here's what I know. Clone Wars people don't like. Jar Jar Binks is apparently kind of black. And Obi-Wan Kenobi is all right.
Who?
I don't know. Was he a mentor to Luke Skywalker?
People don't hate Clone Wars.
No, Clone Wars actually has a...
Are you talking about the movie or the show?
Following.
I don't know. I just know Clone Wars is bad.
He's probably referring to the wars themselves.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I could host my own podcast about that.
You probably have.
And Han Solo
to.
Said, I know, instead of I love you too.
Which is romantic.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go.
Number four. Your favorite game hasn't changed much in 20 years. Henry.
Hey, wait a minute.
I just wanted to know what you think about this one.
I guess I do like that. I think in the case of Mario, I held it more against 3D World this year that it hadn't changed enough, you know?
Hey, you were tough on it.
Yeah, at least in that respect, like, though I would also be the type of person who when some people would say, Pokemon's exactly the same every year, and then you just buy it because you liked dumb Pokemon, and I would be the type of person who would say back, like, no, if you played it, you'd see there's a million differences to it. It's... couldn't even be compared to Pokemon Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Fanboy Henry, I like it. Yeah, I'm definitely that way with Pokemon and Zelda games, where like when a Zelda game comes out and it's like you get to the first dungeon and it's like it's a forest temple, I'm like, well, of course it's a forest temple. That's the optimal way to start a Zelda tale. And then the second one is a water area and I'm like, well, yeah, I'm going to jump into a water. It makes sense. You want to have trees and then you want to have water. And then the third one's fire and I'm like, fucking brilliant. That makes total sense.
It's a shame, though, because Star Fox is one of my favorite games, Star Fox 64. But the problem is I can't play the new Star Foxes because they have different voice actors. Sure they're good games, but I just can't hear Peppy.
You shouldn't be so sure that they're good games.
Oh, yeah?
Well, but
the remake.
The 3D remake was difficult to get used to because the voices are just different enough that I noticed the difference.
Oh, it's tough.
Because they're burned into your brain. The 64 voices are burned into your brain, so even if they sound 98% the same, it's not enough. Like, you can tell the differences.
You want to keep Peppy, though? Or no, not Peppy, Slippy.
I want to keep Slippy. All of them. Slippy is garbage. I used to try to... There's that one level that I hated where you had to rescue Slippy.
Oh, when she was like, something's wrong with the G-Diffuser.
I'd go out of my way to shoot her down in the mission before. Because if you
girl?
Did that,
Slippy is a boy.
Him, I'm going to keep saying
she's
her.
She's a girl, it's fine.
I'm going to keep saying her because...
He grows a mustache in later.
He does grow a mustache. All right. I've been making that, by the way, I've been making the mistake of calling Slippy her since I was like 12 years old.
No, that's fair.
But if you shot him down, you wouldn't have to do that bullshit mission.
Thanks, Fox. They nearly had me.
Hey, Einstein, I'm on your side. I think I can also quote a lot of that game.
That's because that game has like 12 lines of audio. They repeat every level the entire game.
I love it.
Number three,
you're that guy to your friends. Oops. That guy being the guy who you think you're the one your friends come to about games, when in reality, you're actually the one who goes to them to tell them about games.
You're also the guy that people don't want to bring it up around you because they know you're going to launch into a monologue.
Yeah, and you're probably first in line at a... You're a fanboy coop. You're first in line at every midnight launch for your game. Usually in a shirt related to the game you're buying. You want to tell everyone about how you already know about this game. You're obsessed. You're essentially the proud fanboy who goes everywhere and shows your fanboydom.
Yeah.
Number two, my favorite entry on this list, just in terms of what it means. I actually asked Andy to add this because it's the greatest sign you're a fanboy. You think that everybody else is a fanboy. So if you look at the
Games Radar's Facebook page,
every Facebook page, if you go to the or every comment section, go to IGN.com's comment section on their review for the Xbox One, and you're going to see thousands of people calling them PS4 fanboys. Yeah. If you go to the comment section of their PS4 review, thousands of comments calling them Xbox fanboys.
Yeah.
The idea being, you think that anyone who doesn't agree with you 100%. Is obviously biased against you, and even if they do agree with you, you're skeptical about them. We had a video go up that was just like our review of the Xbox One and the PS4 and which is better. And in the video, there was a mistake where one of the title slots that said like that the PS4 was supposed to win a category, it said tie. And a commenter said like, "Huh, why does it say tie instead of instead of the PS4? That's weird." Immediate response: that's because they're actually Xbox One fanboys that hate to admit that the PS4 is a better system, but it's so much better that they have to do it, and it kills them to do it.
Could you imagine?
What? Yeah. We're on your side here, dude. We said that it's better. There was a mistake, and even if the mistake wasn't there, it's like somebody being like, "What should you buy, PS4 or Xbox?" PS4. But it hurts to say that, Xbox fanboy.
Kirsten in the office, like, "Hey, Zach, can you write this completely objective statement?" "No can do. Sorry, Cooper. I like the Xbox too much."
Yeah.
Fanboy.
Or even worse, where it's just like, can you write this review of this Xbox One game? I've been waiting to for a while. You know me. I'm a big PlayStation 4 fanboy, so this is really my chance to shine.
Yeah, I think it's just an example of extremism is, you're just like in this bubble where you think, oh, everyone that thinks like I do is perfectly right. Like, they're just the smart ones. So if anyone disagrees, they must be a fanboy because they're not recognizing the obvious that my system or game franchise is the best one.
Yeah, it's blatantly clear to them. And I used to 100% feel this way, where whenever I was on the Game FAQs forum, which, to be fair, everybody who was on the Game FAQs forum between 2000 to 2004 was a fanboy for something.
That's fair.
And it was like, if there'd be a thread about a game that I wasn't passionate about and somebody said they didn't like it, I'd be like, "Well, then why are you on this board? You're obviously biased against it."
Wow.
Dude.
You've mellowed
true
out.
Believers
dark
time.
Not much. Not much. Not as much
as you
think.
Have you met Coop recently?
And number one on the list, the entire internet is a vessel for your opinion. This is the culmination of the rest of these entries in many ways, because we wouldn't know about 7 through 2 if it wasn't for number one on here. And this also ties into, like, Mario the Plumber. You guys could have been playing the game perfectly, and he still would have found a way to, like, that would have been his outlet to that's his soapbox. The internet is your soapbox to express your opinions about being a fanboy.
Yeah, they don't just get to shout into the air and just only annoy the people around them. Like, you can just let it out for everybody. There was this funny story I heard about Kevin Smith, where Kevin Smith was hating, like, he hates all the people that bitch about his movies and the people who say they're fans, but then, like, message him on his website, like, "Hey, you suck. That last movie was terrible." But then, like, this is on a commentary track, and then one of the co-stars pointed out, like, "Hey, wait, when you were 15, didn't you get into that, like, flame war in a newspaper column with a local columnist?" And he's like, "Well, yeah, I mean, I've sent him a lot of letters telling him how stupid they were, but, I mean," you know, they're like, "You would have been this exact guy. If you had the internet, you would have been that person."
Yeah, it's really just the case, and it's also the people who, like, if you name yourself after a video game console, like, you'll see, like, Xbox Fanboy 7 or Xbox Fan 17 will just go into the comments section and just, and, like, and it won't even be the comment section of, like, a video game thing. Mm-hmm. It'll be, like, a movie review, and it'll just be, like, "This movie was good, and Xbox is the superior console." It's essentially, you just become...
It's the signature to all of their all their comments.
It's essentially, like, you're a raging racist that you just are waiting for the opportunity to be like, "Well, you know they're lazy, right?" It's essentially that with a video game thing.
Twitter is lousy with them because they make their avatars like an Xbox logo with like a circle with a slash through it.
And you know what I was going to say is that anonymity helps a lot, but on Facebook, they're so bad.
Yeah.
And their real names and their real faces are there.
Yeah, it does not matter.
I think Stone says, "Fag Xbox."
It's great because it's like everyone is like, "Oh, man, they're adding real name support for the Xbox One and the PS4. That's great. That's going to help cut down on trolls." It's like, really? Because someone just went onto my Facebook and told me they were going to kill my family. And I can, like, go look at their mom's Facebook profile. Like, they're not hiding themselves very well.
Anything.
Yeah, I can look at their christening pictures because they're only 12 years old and they're that. Facebook's been around for nearly that long.
"You're going to kill my family? Nice dress and booties, asshole."
Yeah.
Mazel tov.
tell your cousin happy bar mitzvah, happy bat mitzvah.
Yeah, wait a minute, mazel tov to a christening? That just doesn't.
I was going down a different road.
He's German.
Dark,
everything's the same for him.
A dark and only road.
Yeah. So that's it for the top seven signs you might be a fanboy. I have already called out someone in the office for going down the opening steps of being a fanboy.
Uh-huh.
I told Thomas I feared for him. As an ex-fanboy, it was like watching somebody, not like somebody getting into alcohol as an ex-alcoholic, it was like watching somebody start to dabble in strip teases on webcams as an ex-abused porn star. Like, where it was like, he was just like, I was on Twitter and I'm like, Dead Rising was really fun, but it doesn't really feel next-gen. And I just get a response from him like, doesn't feel next-gen? Have you seen how many zombies there are on screen? I haven't played it yet. And I'm just like, oh my god, I can see it happening. I can see it about to happen. And he's just like, nah, man, I just think the game looks better than you said. It's like, but I've played it and you haven't, and why would you be defending it? And then I was like, so you bought the Xbox One at launch. Have you ever bought a console at launch before? He's like, no, this is the first one. I'm like, oh, dude, god. You're on, this is dangerous territory, dude. So,
poor Thomas.
Be careful out there, fellas. You might be a fanboy if you're not careful. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, jump into current events. Stay tuned. Welcome back to segment two of Radio Radar, episode 67. We're, in case you may not have noticed, I worded that poorly. In case you noticed, I said current events and not news. We're going to be changing slightly the way we do the show.
Even I gave you a weird look.
You did give me a weird look.
Current events, what the shit?
So, segment one, top seven, obvs.
Duh. Can't
change that.
Segment two, current events, which is essentially news, except we're going to focus less on trying to give you a bunch of different news stories that you probably already read about on Twitter, and more on giving you actual discussion about the two or three news stories that we thought were most interesting.
Which is good, because we're not known for breaking news.
No, and we make no attempts to. You might, our Twitter accounts might, but our actual website, not so much, because that's not our thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then previews and reviews are both just going to be second segment from now on, because it always felt weird to do reviews and then community segment.
Community segment.
IMHO. You okay?
It's too early, Greg.
What happened?
Nothing.
Did I freak out?
No. Let's keep going.
What? No. No, I need what to know.
No, it's not. Nothing to do.
What could...
You said previews and reviews, and Zach lost it.
His face is bright red.
Please ignore me. Ignore me. Please keep going.
Okay.
Current events.
Current events. Previews and news. Why? What could cause that? What is wrong with this?
He literally cannot breathe. His face is a deep shade of radish.
Oh, all right. God. So let's start off with the current events, the news. Reggie, by the time you listen to this, it may have already happened, but Reggie is going to be at the VGXs, which apparently are
VGXs.
Now so small and meaningless that they're not even being put on television.
A more intimate studio experience.
A.K.A.
smaller. No, not small and intimate. Well, no, not whatever, meaningless. Here's the thing. I think it's awesome. I want to move away from cable so much, and if something's just a Netflix exclusive or an email stream is Twitch exclusive, power to it.
Yeah.
Though I don't have cable anyway.
Though
so
I feel like
I
the only reason... This is still Spike sponsored.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. It's still on the
Viacom. Well, it's on Spike's website.
It's going to be streaming on all the Viacom channel websites, MTV, Comedy Central. Well, not all of them, but Spike,
right.
And BET, and MTV, yeah. And MTV2.
But Reggie's going to be there, and he's
yes.
going to... What was the exact wording? I'm going to look it up, because it was something... It was weird. It essentially, he's going to either bring a new Wii U game or bring new information on another Wii U game. Is that...
So I had heard conflicting things, too, but I believe it is an upcoming new information on an upcoming Wii U.
All right, let me find the quote. La, 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 control F, Reggie.
My body's ready.
Presenting a new look at an upcoming Wii U game, which I think could mean either a new character in Smash Brothers or Zelda. Like, it's
Zelda.
Sort of...
I feel Zelda.
Or Cranky Kong in Donkey Kong Country.
Dude, if that's it, I'm going to flip every table in the
world.
It's
actually The Last Guardian. for the Wii U.
Oh, that'd be great.
You can pet him on the little screen. He's going to die anyway and make me cry.
Yeah. But yeah, so Reggie's going to do something. In an interview with Forbes, the Forbes interviewer asked him, like, aren't you kind of worried about people wanting to ditch your system for the new, shiny, more powerful ones? And his response was, the interesting thing there is, if you look at the last two hardware cycles, it was not the most powerful machine that won. Not the case with the PS2 and not the case with the Wii. Now, do you think, Henry, he has a point and that people shouldn't worry about the Wii U right now with the next-gen consoles coming?
He has a point to a degree, but I would say there's some big differences there. Number one, the PS2 was the least powerful, but not in any way on the scale that the Wii U is less powerful than a Xbox One or PS4. Like, it was small differences between a PS2 game and a GameCube or Xbox game.
Though, wouldn't you say that the Wii was even more of a disparity to the Xbox 360 than the Wii U to the One?
Well, the difference there is that the Wii didn't need good graphics because it had these games that became, I don't want to say fads, but they caught on like wildfire with the casual audience who have clearly not shown up for the Wii U.
Yeah.
So without that casual audience, the Wii U not being as powerful, like, doesn't... honestly, like, it's just the Wii U... I still stand by what I've written before, that the Wii U is just a GameCube now. You'll get awesome Nintendo originals on it that will look so good that you won't care that they're not as powerful as the competing systems. But it's not going to... It shouldn't be most people's only console because you'll get almost no third-party games on it.
Yeah. Now, you and I have a system. Greg, Zach, do you guys have Wii U's?
No.
Why not?
I don't know, actually.
There were just no games for it. There's nothing I wanted to play.
I haven't... My system progression has gone original Nintendo, N64, Xbox 360. I haven't really ever felt like... I have never had a PlayStation either, so...
No, I have the same progression as you, but I think the thing is, I got the Wii U to play Brawl. I got the Wii to play Brawl, and that was the only game I played for the Wii. My Wii was a GameCube emulator. And so if I wasted that entire console on just Brawl, there's no way I'm going to get the next one up if I can't play GameCube games on it.
But were none of the, like, Super Mario Galaxy of no interest?
Nope.
You're really missing out, I gotta say.
Yeah, there were a lot of really good games on the Wii. So what are you gonna, like, what are you going to, what would they have to make you buy a Wii U? Or are you just not a fan of Nintendo games other than Smash Brothers?
You know what? I don't know. Like, when the new Smash Brothers comes out, I'm gonna be really sad that I can't play it because I'm not gonna have a Wii U. But yeah, I just can't think of anything right now that I'm stoked to play on the Wii U.
Well, does it coming to the 3DS, like, make it easier anyway? Like, I can play you, or do you not have
a
3DS?
I use the GameCube controller all the time for Smash Bros.
Hey, if you don't have a 3DS, we're giving away two on tomorrow's 24-hour live stream.
Yes.
And one is a special edition
It is Link Between Worlds 3DS XL bundle and a awesome black XL 3DS.
Yes. So gently used.
You can... yeah, it's signed by the Games Radar staff.
Yes.
You can win one of those if you watch the live stream tomorrow.
Yeah. So, I don't know. For me, it's like, I don't know what Nintendo really needs to do to make the system do better. I don't think adding GameCube backwards compatibility would really move the needle. Yeah. I saw, I think it was Wired today, wrote an article about how Nintendo needs
to... What the hell is wrong with Nintendo?
Yeah, they need to... Their suggestion was it was a crazy suggestion that I don't agree with, but I could see why they said it, where they said Nintendo should patch out GamePad, making the gamepad mandatory and release a $200 version that comes with the Classic Controller Pro. Ooh. And just admit that it is a less powerful next-gen system and release a shitload of games. Like, they think that the price and the gamepad are the problem. I don't know if that's necessarily...
You can't cut the price if you don't get rid of the gamepad.
Yeah, really. I don't know if that's necessarily true, though, in terms of whether or not the gamepad is a problem, because, like, myself, I'm freaking out about Vita Remote Play. I find that one of the things that's making me gravitate towards the PS4, and the Wii U has that. Like, I can play the Wii U from another room. That's a really cool selling point, and almost every game works for it. That's awesome. Taking that away feels like it's removing something that could become something that leads people in the future to buy it, though I agree that it's just... Henry and I have talked about this a lot. Nintendo doesn't have a single piece of software that shows why the Wii U is needed. Mm-hmm. Like the new Mario
gamepad, yeah, in particular.
Yeah, well, not even just the gamepad. Like Mario 3D World, mm-hmm, best Wii U game.
Oh my god, I love it.
Yeah, it's
but
super great.
Could have been nearly identical on the Wii. They wouldn't have had to do anything different.
I think that's there true. Are three stages that use it. Well, no, I can only think of one stage that uses the touchpad and the you have to blow on the microphone to move the,
sure,
the thing.
But,
that
but those could have been
the
cut.
They,
like,
no,
in terms
yeah.
of, but I mean, in terms of like, there's not, and even graphically, the camera's pulled back so much. It looks great when it wants to, but there's not like the Zelda that looks like a next-gen game. There's not the Metroid Prime that looks like a next-gen game. They don't have a single game that throughout the game looks like a next-gen game. They have a bunch of games where it's like, oh, man, they totally couldn't have done that on last-gen. But nothing that actually, like, when they first showed off that system, they showed off that tech demo for Zelda, mm-hmm, and the visuals on that, and it was in-engine. You can move the camera around. It was 100% running on that system. That was, okay, I know why Nintendo needed a next-gen system, mm-hmm, finally. But we haven't seen anything about that. Where it, like, the fact that there's no Star Fox or even just a new IP that flexes that muscle,
it's
just
true.
Driving me crazy. And it's a year old, and it hasn't even been revealed. Pikmin is an amazing game, but Pikmin started as a Wii U or a Wii game, mm-hmm, and then got upscaled, and it's good looking.
And now for the past year, they had that, you know, ace in the hole of the gamepad. Like, nobody else has it, but now the, you know, iPads and Surfaces and Vitas can now all be used as touchscreens with their respective consoles.
Yeah.
So they're losing that edge as well.
I've said in the past that I think that at this very moment, your best experience for $400 or $500 out of the Wii U versus PS4 versus Xbox One is a Wii U plus $200 or $100 of games. Mm. Like, you'll have more fun with that than you will have with a PS4 or an Xbox One. But not if you don't like Nintendo stuff. If you're like Tom Magrino, say, who just
isn't allured by the Nintendo charm.
Nintendo franchises never click for him. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are just like, yeah, I know these games are good, but I just don't like Nintendo. Like, well, then don't buy it.
Yeah,
like,
and
I can't tell you. There's no reason to buy it then.
And there's also just a level of like, if you're that is still the case. Even, I mean, honestly, it's just a matter of like, right now, there are more good Wii U games than there are good Xbox One or PS4 games. That is just, that is the case, because there aren't a lot of other games. In 8 months, that's not going to be the case anymore, unless Nintendo throws some curveballs. That said, Nintendo has been really good recently about announcing stuff and having it come out much sooner than you'd think. They're not on, Nintendo, I think even over the last few years, has stopped doing that. We're going to announce a game, and it's going to come out in 2.5 years. Like, the average PR cycle. Like, A Link Between Worlds was only announced, like, what, six months ago?
That was May. Well, and Mario 3D World was E3 June, and it came out in November.
So Nintendo, it's easy to be cynical and pessimistic about Nintendo's 2014. They have announced, and it also makes you think, like, they announced Smash Brothers, and Nintendo has stopped doing that shit where they announce a game 2 years ahead of time, and there have been rumors Smash Brothers is going to come out in, like, May.
That'd be incredible.
That wouldn't be that shocking. It's only shocking because we've decided it would be shocking. But consistently, that's how Nintendo has done stuff for the past generation. Like, they've been doing that. So I'm really hoping that if they announce, and honestly, tomorrow they announce a release date for Smash Brothers. That wouldn't be that crazy.
That would not be that nuts. Smash Brothers, I think they know, is their most popular franchise with the people who are watching the VGXs. So that would be their biggest bet. Though my personal bet is Zelda, the Wii U Zelda, just to get that ball rolling.
Now that you said that fucking thing about it just being... So there's a box art. This isn't on the list of news, but there's box art that just came out that shows off Donkey Kong Country Returns. Mm-hmm. But the box art has Donkey, Diddy, Dixie... and Cranky
Kong,
which originally, I mean, Donkey Kong Country Returns had two-player co-op. They've only showed off two-player co-op. They've only showed off the characters they've shown off. But if they're going to have four characters and maybe four-player co-op, they do need to announce that soon. Mm-hmm. And that box art came out with no announcement. So I'm really hoping that's not it, because I could not care less about that game because I don't like that franchise.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like Donkey Kong Country 2D platformers.
The new one looks pretty. Like, it was, I played a couple demos of it. I had a good time with it, but
it looks pretty, but yeah. It still doesn't look like a big next-gen game.
No, it does not. It's still, just like you were saying about the other ones, it looks like a slightly embellished Wii game.
Yeah,
like,
and I'm just, I want those games. But I'm hoping, though I will say, no matter how bad Nintendo is doing, if you're a fan of Nintendo games and you buy a Nintendo console, mm-hmm. you can rest assured that within 4 years you're going to have a Zelda, a Mario. Like, mm-hmm. if you like those core franchises, you're going to get 10 amazing games within the lifetime. But if you don't like those core franchises, you're shit out of luck. Another story. Sony Computer Entertainment UK's managing director said that when discussing the fact that the Vita is just not selling, said that it's not the biggest seller we've had, but it's still very much loved and a respected machine. Which some people are saying that's essentially his cute way at saying it's not really a game console anymore.
It's strange with the Vita because, like, I don't care about the Vita at all, but every time I hold it, I'm like, this is a really nicely crafted machine.
Great hardware.
This is great. And I put it down and forget about it. But then, you know, my friend's making a joke because we don't have the Vita. But then when we got Golden, I'm like, oh, we got Golden. And it came with this, like, a free Vita for only $250.
That's pretty much how it went. And it's so, I feel like, and we discussed it earlier with Nintendo, do you feel like the PS4 plus the Vita is going to become a thing next gen?
I think it's
going to
be awesome. I am so excited about the PS4 Vita.
Like, every game has to have remote play support. Okay. They have mandated it.
I will say, secretly, I came into this job as an Xbox fanboy. 100% I did, just because I had come from there. But I am really liking the PS4 right now. A lot more than the Xbox One, just in terms of, like, the Vita support, the games. It just feels more like a game console, whereas the Xbox One is like, it can do everything.
It can do everything, but like, nothing. I had to unplug the cable. I had to unplug the pass-through on my cable through the Xbox yesterday because it was freezing every few seconds.
Yeah. Oh,
and
really?
And then I plugged it in regularly, and it worked fine, and it's like, you realize, like, in a household where you have a gamer and a non-gamer, mm-hmm. if it's a husband and a wife, mm-hmm. Whatever it is, like, kids and parents, whatever, if that you have to put it through there. It mm-hmm. doesn't work if the Xbox isn't on. If that doesn't work
perfectly,
it is getting unplugged and never plugged back in. You are not going to win people back over, and I've had my once. And it's like, they need to, that can never happen.
I had a really ridiculous situation this weekend at a friend's house where we were watching, like, we said, hey, let's watch this funny video I heard of on YouTube. I'll watch on the YouTube app. Xbox One, Xbox, YouTube. And pulled it up, did it fine. We went and searched for the thing. And then as we were watching the video full screen on the thing, we laughed several times. And, like, three times, I have to think it was the laughing hard at it and making noise, the screen gets half obscured by a sign popping up that says Xbox listening, or no, stop listening.
Yeah.
And it was hearing us, and we're like, no, stop listening. We were just laughing. We can't laugh at something. You pick that up.
Dude,
and you
on
think we're talking
Thanksgiving,
to you.
There was a time where it was like, I went like, Xbox, watch TV. Long pause, goes to MTV. It's like, technically, I can see how you got there. But it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it almost reminds me of how he had a lot of people burnt on the Wii remote when it first came out because it didn't do what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
And the Xbox One, it kind of feels like it's going in that direction. Meanwhile, Vita cross-compatibility, it's working.
Yep.
It's a good experience.
And the Vita's great.
They got to do that with the Vita because they kind of are losing all their games for it. Like,
there are no games left.
Yeah. Now that Tearaway is out, I don't think there's any real, like, dedicated Vita game that's coming out now. Like,
yeah, please look that up, Cooper.
A Vita original. I can't think of one. Like, that Killzone game came out, and now Tearaway came out, which was and maybe is its killer app, but I think now its killer app is PS4 interface. Like, that's the killer app for it. Though I always say, buy Persona 4. Like,
That's the game to get.
So
Vita.
I'm on Games Radar's list of upcoming Vita games for 2013 and beyond. Full disclosure, we haven't updated this in about 4 months. And so all of the AAAs are out. Mm-hmm. Final Fantasy HD, Men's Room Mayhem, which is a game where you pee on people.
Okay.
Men's Room what?
A game called Counter Spy, and that's it. So there's pretty much there's those indie all of the games that are coming out are cross compatible with the PS4, which to me is like they've just evolved it where it's like, so hey, listen, we know we sold you the Vita as a 3DS competitor, but it's really not. Oops, it's a handheld PS4, and it's like, okay, I'm kind of okay with that.
They're at least going to give you a bunch of free-ish games, like all those cross-buy games and cross-play games. Like, I've been playing Guacamelee on my Vita more than I did on my PS3, which is where I bought it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not, like, not getting use out of it. And also PlayStation Plus, they're just giving you fucking games left and right.
Wait, can you turn on the Xbox 4 with your Vita by any chance?
The Xbox, PS4?
I'm sorry, PS4.
Yes, well, you can put the PS4 in standby mode, and I could, from the office, turn on my Vita, remote play to my system at home while it's off. It will turn it on and let me play it. Over internet. Wow. I haven't gotten it to work consistently. That's a little shakier, but I think it's because I didn't set it up right. Mm. But locally, it works fine. And you can, like, in my bedroom, I was able to turn it on from my bed.
Okay. Oh, man.
It's super cool. Yeah.
I just, like, you say that, and I'm like, well, $700 later.
Well, there's also, they also announced that they are going to have a bundle of both eventually.
At least in Europe, they've announced that.
I can see that being a big.
But where's the Vita TV? Like, it's really.
Yeah, that's not coming.
I wonder if they're just not announcing it outside Japan until Christmas is over because they're like, well, please, let's just have one more Christmas where we try to sell as many Vitas as we can, and then we'll put out the.
Yeah,
Vita TV.
It's also funny because we've looked at it over and over again, and every time they do sizzle reels of Vita TV, it is white people using it. It is all, like, American-looking white people crowding around a Vita TV and partying, and then it's just, like, only releasing in Japan.
And lastly, about this story, I want to point out that the UK managing director's name is Fergal Garah.
Oh, thank God.
It certainly is.
Great name.
And the last story, big story worth talking about a little bit, Sony registered The Last of Us Movie.net and Last of Us -movie.com.
Because The Last of Us Movie.com was taken by a strange indie film.
Yes. But, Zach, you wrote this up. And you're saying this probably does this. Yeah. We are as far away from a Last of Us movie as we were a month ago.
Yeah, it means nothing. Companies, whenever somebody has a whiff of like maybe we should do a movie, then they just buy up all the domains.
Cost them like they have a. They probably cost them a dollar.
Yeah, no, it's there's we see this a lot with movie domains that we think like this Halo movie is in so many iterations.
Yeah, like 5 years.
Yeah, and then all the directors are dropping like flies because everyone is like, we don't want to touch this because we're going to do something wrong, and everybody's going to hate us.
And you're
forever.
Not going to give us the budget you want because people like studios want to make this because it's like we can make a like people will see it just because it's Halo, and it's like, well, to do it right, we need $300 million, and they're like, God,
that's what happened to the BioShock movie,
right?
Because Universal is publishing it, and then their last R-rated movie of that same caliber was Watchmen, and it did awfully in theaters. And so they're like, we don't want to give that. So instead of $130 million, how about just $80 million?
And it's rated PG-13.
Yeah, and the director's
that movie
like,
probably,
yeah, no.
If it wasn't for Watchmen, that movie probably would have come out by now.
Yeah, and it would be really cool.
I mean, they did make that really awesome miniseries, Forward Into Dawn.
Oh, yeah, for Halo.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was great.
That was really cool.
They almost made that Halo movie, and then they canceled it at the last minute, and then they just took a lot of the early, well, not the last minute, but some way into production. And so they took some of those
the props
and used them in District 9.
District 9 was the Halo movie.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I mean, it wasn't going to be plot-wise anything like that, but it was like
production had begun, and they're like, well, we got all these people here anyway. Hey, let's make a movie version of that short film you did.
Yeah, okay. You had a director and a producer with a hard-on for doing a dirty sci-fi movie, and then they couldn't do the one they were going to do, so they just did a different one.
If you look at some of the space guns that people are using in that movie, they're like, that's a Halo gun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, long story short, The Last of Us Movie.net is just like a kind of safety net. So it's on tape
all the time
they want.
I also feel like this is a pretty common thing whenever they want to make – whenever a game – is either has the potential to do well, they'll just, to get that extra oomph of getting people excited, they'll be like, we're making a movie too.
Yeah.
Like, there have been like five stories about there being a Kanan Lynch movie.
Yeah, it's like whenever. What?
Wasn't there a register for like the Half-Life3.com, like in Europe?
Yeah.
Like, a couple those months
are scams
ago or something like
by
that.
People.
Yeah.
But I think these movies are just scams by producers of movies who just want to say, oh yeah, I negotiate the rights of this for Paramount Pictures. I will now get to work on this film for 2 years and get paid, and then it never comes out. And I, like, just to show how long it takes for this stuff, I think it was the Warcraft movie was announced in like 2008, mm-hmm. and they just cast it. They're like, nope, we have our cast now. We're actually going
to
film it.
Though they apparently they delayed the movie again because they don't want it to come out near Star Wars.
Yep. Yep.
Smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then Star Wars got out of the way of the Avengers too. Like 2015 is nuts. And now they just announced another, before an X-Men movie has come out, they have announced the next X-Men movie for 2016.
Oh, wait, what is that?
It is X-Men Apocalypse.
What? Who's is that?
It's also directed by Bryan Singer. So
Singer's cannot wait for the next X-Men movie. But anyway, these are also litmus tests of, you know, if they release a domain name that they've kind of registered, and they kind of map the fervor and see who's excited about it to justify moving forward.
Yeah, and they also know that even like the $50 they spent on those domains is going to lead to coverage on not only gaming websites but movie blogs, and potentially, like, if it's a slow night, Entertainment Tonight might be like, hey, there's a video game that's doing well, and there's a rumor that
and
they're going to make a movie.
And if 10 people around the world buy the game, then it has made profit.
Exactly. So. But yeah, that's it for the current events. We really don't have any previews or reviews other than Ryan's a little busy right now, but he said Tiny Brains was super good.
Tiny Brains is awesome.
And I agree, and it's amazing. You should get it always.
Yes. You can play it through remote play on your Vita.
With
your...
four friends locally.
Yes.
Which is
that's cool.
Sadly not as common as we'd want for this next generation.
Right. So we'll be right back with the community segment. And welcome back to the final segment of Radio Radar, episode 67. Before we jump into the community segment, we got to discuss this.
Corrections.
You screwed up.
Hold on, I forgot. I forgot to hit.
Correct the corrections.
Corrections. You screwed up.
Thank you.
So I forgot to hit unmute.
There's a correction. Turkey on Rye says, also, Fanboy Coop. The original Conker's Bad Fur Day came out on N64, not GameCube. I know it was a slip of the tongue during the rant, but still.
So, listen, buddy. first off, I know. Second
Go
of
on.
All...
I'm just wondering how you're going to avoid saying I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh, we did it.
Oh.
Third of all, I have a song for you.
Do you really think you'll survive in here? You don't seem to know which creek you're in. Sweet corn is the only thing that makes it through my rear. How do you think I keep this lovely grin?
Have some more caviar.
The great almighty Pooh from Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Well, I noticed Cooper does that every once in a while where I feel like every few days you'll just say PS3 when you mean PS4, and then Tom or someone will go like, you mean PS4, right? You're like, oh yeah.
So I actually don't know what it is. I've done that for like since I was like an early teen where I'll mix up like two people's, I'll know that you're Henry and you're Greg, but I'll go to say Greg and say Henry by mistake. I feel like it's probably something wrong with my brain. And
it's a fairly common human thing.
It happens to me a lot. I need
then you need to go see somebody.
I'll struggle. There'll just be times where, like, Zach, you'll like get up and be like, hey, Cooper. I'll be like, hey. And for a split second, I'm like, I don't want to fuck this up. I know it's Zach. Brain.
Is that why you call me buddy all the time?
No.
Hey, buddy.
No, I just call people buddy.
It's Zach, you jerk.
What up, guy?
No, I do
I
that.
Like buddy.
I also, I'll mix up game names, sequels. It's just
my
brain
mean.
Is just a shit show.
Well, my mom would, I'm sure if you weren't an only child, like your mom probably often just said the wrong.
Yep.
She'd go like my brother is Sam, and she would go like, hey, there's...
my name used to be Zalix. Like, that's just what I... Because my brother's name is Alex. So he'd be like, Zalix, come to dinner. I'm like, that's fine.
I'd also have my mom be like... So my dad's name is Eric. Mm-hmm. Sister's name's Aaron. And I would just... My mom would want to call me and I'd hear, John, can you come downstairs real quick? Like, I feel like as a parent... Your brain is ruined.
Yeah.
And my brain is ruined despite not being a parent. When I'm actually a parent, I'm just going to be comatose.
Yeah, this never happened to me specifically because I have three sisters. But my mom and dad would always be like, Jenna, Carrot, no. Amy, get over here.
Yeah.
They would run through all three of them.
It's always the last one.
Just to get to the last one.
It's, there's something wrong with humans. I think it might just be that the world has become very complicated. It used to be relatively simple. You gather.
Well, it's also
plant something. Like, you have to live in fear all the time, but fear is easy.
Right.
We have a lot of distractions, and I feel like our brains are not keeping pace.
That's fair. I mean, if somebody's name is Zach, I will always call them Alex, because I'll be like, hey, well, you're not me, because I'm me, so you must be another name that I know very well, Alex. And they're like, how'd you get that? I'm like, I don't know. Life is hard. I'm not a caveman anymore. That'll
exactly.
Come back.
Think about that. That's from
have
now
you thought
on.
Of driving? There's a lot that goes into driving.
Humans driving is one of the, like, if you, when you're just going down the road, my driving buddies know this, you're just going down the road at like 70 miles an hour, you are like, you're driving a like huge ton of metal
that runs on explosions,
and you're listening to music and like you aren't even really
you're
thinking
texting
about,
let's be honest, you're
how
texting.
Dangerous driving is in general, like, you take that amount of danger for granted every fucking day.
Meanwhile, like 40,000 years ago, when our brains were getting to the point where realistically they haven't changed in a long time, it was just like, I need to go over to that cave and hit someone. Like, that's just my day. And I might be eaten by a saber-toothed tiger.
I'll pee along the way.
Yeah. And humans were also, we were still compassionate, but it was also an element of, like, my friend just got killed by an animal. That's fine. That happens. I'm used to that.
At 31.
Yeah, like, but we're living too long, and we have too many distractions, and our brains are melting.
That's what I like about The Walking Dead, is it takes you back to a simpler time, where everyone is just ruled by, well, I'm going to have to kill this person now, because I got bit by a zombie,
but
and
also they
my friends are dying. I'm used to it now.
But they have that weird, like, soap opera-y issue in their camp, like, half the season sometimes.
I'm talking specifically the comics.
Okay.
As you get further in the zombie apocalypse, and then you get, like, Carl. He's a young boy, and he grows up in the apocalypse, and he's just offing people left and right. And, like, at one point, Rick turns to Carl, and he's like, does it not bother you that, you know, this person who's been with us for the last entire time just got their face ripped off by a zombie? And he's like, yeah, it happens.
Yeah. That's how I'm going to raise my children.
It's interesting.
With the knowledge that their face may be ripped off at any time.
Yeah.
But yes, I apologize for that screw up. I will be sure
them.
To tell Fanboy Coop never to mess up again.
Like the M. Night Shyamalan film, you could raise them to think they are in the zombie apocalypse.
Ooh. See, but I want them to play video games still.
That's true.
It's
in a rough
power.
Spot. So anyway, I almost just hit the top seven jingle. That would have been heartbreaking.
What have you bastardized that song?
I modded it. I'm a modder now.
Have you come around to this
song,
Zach? I'm a DJ.
Zach?
I remember the first time you heard it, you were like so disappointed.
I mean, it's definitely disappointing, but I think that's the humor.
No, it's charming.
It reminds me of early Bauhaus. That's what I like.
I love the hell of it. last week's question of the week. What are you least thankful for about in gaming? Shelby Villian said, what I'm least thankful for is updating drivers to get my new PC games to work. Take as an example to get Battlefield 4 to work. After the 25 gigabyte download I completed, I was super excited to play. Nope, I need a new driver update. Okay, fine. Driver update. Super excited to play. Nope. Forgot to delete an AMD file from the registry. I installed the newest version of the driver, so my computer won't boot now. Boot in safe mode and try again. Nope. Driver install freezes, and I have to go delete folders from C drive and the registry before I try again. Only then will my computer boot properly and Battlefield loads. Now, if only DICE could get the netcode working.
A lot
of hate there.
A lot of hate.
Yeah, but legitimate hate.
Oh, yeah.
I feel your pain. One out of every three games in Battlefield 4 I play these days crashes.
I feel like my game doesn't crash ever.
You are among the lucky few.
Between matches, it's like, I'll say one in three between matches crashes.
That like...
The second match just won't load. Which I don't lose any experience or anything, so it's kind of good, but...
Let's see. John Dagger says, the sense of overwhelming self-entitlement, that's what I'm least thankful for. I don't know what it is about games that cause normal functioning people to turn into horrible monsters of self-entitlement like Fanboy Coop. Most people are totally rational and polite in circumstances where they don't get what they get. Happy Meal didn't come with a right toy. Oh, well, maybe next time. Missed the bus by a minute? Darn, I'll catch the next one. A game that allows you to experience the world during the Renaissance through the eyes of a badass assassin through an unbelievable character and original mechanics? Complete shit! Why do I have to make a separate Uplay account? I already have a Steam account. This is the worse than Hitler! I don't know what causes it, but I would be thankful to have less of it in the world.
Well, the thing is, you have to deal with all those problems in your everyday life because of society, and the one thing you want to do is relax and play a video game, and it's really annoying that when you actually go to try to do that, the people who are supposed to be helping you relax are actually making your life more difficult.
What's Fanboy Coop a fanboy of now?
I don't know.
Whatever he needs to be a fan
Frederick
of
Frederick Nietzsche.
Genderbender 9000. I am least thankful for the lack of booth hunks at E3. Is a shirtless Nathan Drake or Chris Redfield in short shorts too much to ask for?
So, time out.
Preach.
Shirtless Nathan Drake is too much to ask for because it's not Nathan Drake if he doesn't have a half-tucked shirt. You could say he could just half-tuck it into his underpants and have, like, no pants on.
That's true.
He has to have a half-tucked
shirt. But then he has to have killer quads, or else it's just not worth it.
Exactly. So it's a difficult thing. There are other characters... Shirtless Dante works. Old Dante. New one's kind of gross.
Yeah. I don't think so. Or like Ryu could be shirtless. Or, well, with a big open shirt, not shirtless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Valid concern.
Yeah. And the winner for this week, the winner is Punishment, says, I'm thankful for the Humble Bundles that are slowly but surely making a console gamer like myself shift to PC.
I was like, where is he going with this? Oh, nowhere.
I think my backlog of PS3 and 360 games is bad, but then I look at my monstrous Steam library. If I got sentenced to life in prison and was able to take my PC, chances are I still wouldn't get through them all. Next post. Ah, for fuck's sake, I read the question wrong, damn it. So congratulations, Punishment. You are the winner for this week's Question of the Week. And go ahead and contact me at greg.h@gamesradar.com, and you will get some sweet, sweet prize. I actually still have 4 pairs of sweet, sweet Arnettes left.
That's it.
Yeah, I've been holding on to them for a long time. Huh? So, but, yeah, congratulations.
Yes, and thank you. And remember to subscribe to us on iTunes if you don't already, to
email me. Question this week?
Oh, we have to do a question.
We sure do. This is the part where I go, I haven't thought about it yet.
What game would you play for 24 hours straight?
That's brilliant, Henry Gilbert.
Okay.
Right now?
Like, if you had to play a game for one game
you're
for 24
leave
hours
this room
straight.
And go and play a game for 24 hours.
Battlefield 4. Just because I'm right now, just that's my brain.
All right. I'm going to have to say Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag because I'm already 30 hours in and not even half done.
Really?
Because I'm doing every fucking side quest I can find, and I am in love with that goddamn game.
Wow.
Well, I am going to go... See, action games, those I feel the time on, but for portable strategy games and RPGs, the time flies by. And I have had like 8 hours or so pass without me even noticing when playing like Persona 4 Golden. But the best example of that would be for me, I would pick Advance Wars Dual Strike because that I did play for like, I think I did play for 12 hours straight at least one day. And it'd be simple to double that. So that's mine.
Zachary?
Tales of Zillia, the newest Tales game. I was halfway done and then I had to move and I haven't hooked up my PS3 since then. Oh. I just need to sit there for 24 hours and beat it, which I won't even be half done afterwards. But I have to.
Well, nice.
I have a question of the week for
What's
another
that?
Week. I'm going to bring it up now. What game did you play most of and never finish that you wish you had finished?
Mm.
Remember that for another week.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to forget.
Because it's heartbreak for me because you reminded me of that. Because that story is me for like 7 games that I'm never going to finish.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, before we... I also want to say thank you to a Twitter follower of mine who's a fan of Games Radar, Signarian, or Marcus Shower, Shauer. So he lives in Osaka, Japan right now, and he saw me whining on Twitter going like, man, I wish we had these cool Mario Happy Meal toys in America. And then 2 weeks later, he @replied me and said, hey, I got all the Mario toys for you. And I was like, what?
That's awesome.
And so he's going to send them to the office.
Don't you have a cousin that lives in Japan that probably could have done that?
I probably could have asked her. You're right.
Just wondering. I was wondering that when it was a, when I saw those McDonald's toys, I'm just like, I wonder if Henry's going to ask his cousin.
But it's a much better story that a Twitter.
Yeah, that is a. You don't even have to. You can do that the next time from your cousin. Yeah.
So thank you again, Signarian. That's awesome.
And for all my driving buddies and listening buddies out there,
and busing buddies,
walking, eating, sleeping,
public transportation while sobbing into your lap, buddies.
Tune in for the 24-hour live stream. Is this going to go live today?
No.
It's going to go live tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you downloaded it right away and listened right away, jump online and come hang out with us.
Yep. And be sure to like us on iTunes, or you can't even like something on iTunes. Download us on iTunes. Like us on Facebook.
Subscribe.
Review. Comment on the article, please, with the answer to your question of the week and whatever you want. And remember to send in your voice saying a number between 1 and 7 to GregH at GamesRadar.com.
I haven't received any of those.
Somebody on Twitter said they sent you a number 1.
I haven't gotten it.
Send it anyway to GregH. I want to have numbers for the top 7. So I'm just asking people to record themselves saying any number between 1 through 7. Uh-huh. All of them, one of them, it doesn't matter. And I'm going to choose 7 of them to go through them. And we'll talk to you next week. What's up, Internet, and welcome to episode 67. Jeez, my mic's... Hold on. Little bit.